Suicide Squad's on here as a 10 out of 10. I guess they gave like the movie an 8. I love that. Oh my God, the feedback. I reread the thread just for this. That was just beautiful. That was so much fun.
Not a
I really.
sycophant, just a sicko.
See, that's the other. There's some quality 10 out of 10s out there, and then there's Suicide Squad. Hello and welcome to the AV Forum's Top 10 4Ks and Blu-rays podcast for April 2024. Tonight I am joined by Mark Costello.
Hello there.
Simon Crust.
Are we recording yet?
And Tom Davis.
Good morning.
Nice. We're going to look at our Top 10 recommended discs for April, even though we haven't got through them all yet. But we're going to do our best. I know, it's bad. Well, we're recording mid-month and playing back later in the month. It happens for April. And when we're going to deep dive into our topic of the month, what makes a 10 out of 10 4K disc? Boom. First, some competitions. You can win a gorgeous set of KEF LSX 2 LT wireless speakers worth $899. This pair of speakers is a streamlined version of the LSX 2 model and shares the same immersive high-fidelity sound and many of the key technologies, but with a more wallet-friendly price tag. The winner gets to choose the finish of their choice from sage green, the wise man's choice, to stone white or graphite grey. Hurry, though. The competition closes in a few hours at 11:59 p.m. Previous winners, RGB 1231, a pair of brand new Q Acoustics M40 speakers worth $749, courtesy of Peter Tyson. An Irritated Badger 1 Valencia Tuscany XL Ultimate Luxury Onyx Cinema Seat worth $2,200.
How's he going to get those in his set?
Oh, you wag.
New patrons, the box, bought us a coffee, Matt Evans and Mr. Black 79. Thank you all. Cheers, for joining. The best discs we looked at. Mark, tell us first about some of your best from your top 10 Blu-rays for April 2024, which included some choice titles. And you didn't give the number one slot to a Second Sight title.
Are you accusing me of being some kind of shill there, Harlan?
No, I'm just saying Second Sight gets in there with the extras and the video and the audio and everything, but they did not this month.
No,
Mark,
they did
there was
not.
Something greater.
Mark's usually pretty sycophantic towards Second Sight, yeah. I would say.
Well, to be fair, I'm pretty sycophantic to most things. Hang on.
Yeah.
Mark Sycophant Costello. Yeah.
So my top 10, yes, for 1080p fans who don't need any of this 4K baloney. It's been a real, really good month, or it will be for those that have not been lucky enough to get their hands on some of these titles. The top two are absolute bangers. Yes, Second Sight are at number two with their lavish release of The Borderlands, a found footage film, which is hilariously British. A church in, I want to say somewhere in North Yorkshire, has reported strange goings on, and a group of investigators from the church are called in. So far, so typical. But there's a real style and atmosphere to it. There's a real juxtaposition. One of the leads is it Gordon Kennedy? Gordon Kennedy, who's a comedian. But he plays it absolutely straight in this, but there's always a real sort of strange edge to it. It's a fantastic film. And the release from Second Sight is their, as we've already alluded to, their usual high-quality stuff. Obviously, picture quality, it's found footage. It's shot on various types of dodgy consumer cam, so don't come here for picture quality. But there's some really good extras on it, especially the two interviews with producer Jen Handorf, one done at the time, which tells us very, very matter-of-factly that fan footage was the only way to tell such a story. And then cut to the brand new interview now from a few months ago, where said producer happily admits that, yeah, the fan footage was to cash in on paranormal activity. So, yeah. Don't trust movie producers, kids. So The Borderlands is a great release. But my number one choice took me absolutely by surprise. It's a film and a filmmaker I'd never even heard of until I got sent the Radiance disc to look. It's Suzu River by, I want to say, Lau Ye. So forgive me for garbling this. But this film is, honestly, it shocked me. In 84 minutes, it manages to take a neo-noir that hints at Vertigo, that hints at the double life of Veronique, but is shot through as if Wong Kar-wai is running around filming everything with a camera. It hints at a hardcore crime thriller that never materializes. It hints at a mysterious, almost supernatural drama that never materializes. It takes all our audience expectations from the genres that we know and love and just literally crumbles them up and throws them over its shoulder to give something which is so strange, but you know, I almost want to say intoxicating, but that's rather a pretentious word to say. But it was, honestly, it's such a good film. It's so good that if you don't even want to pick up the Radiance disc, it's currently streaming on Mubi. I think Kaz mentioned it in the thread. Just go watch this film. It's absolutely amazing. The disc from Radiance is very good. 4K restoration, the 16mm source scrubs up very nicely. And there's some pretty good interviews on the disc. The best one is from my favorite academic, Tony Raines, who knows everything there is to know about Asian cinema. So it's a good disc, but the film is, yeah, really surprising, really amazing. Go and watch it.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
I'm always, I'll never get through all 10 of your titles in any 1 month, but I always add your number one and twos.
It's because there's always 17 in my top 10.
It is because, yeah, so it's because there's always a stupid amount and there's always some Chuck Norris. Yeah, and no.
Not awesome. This month.
No, okay, there's either Chuck Norris or there's, like, ninjas.
Yes.
Eureka Ninjas.
It was Jet Li's Black Mask this month.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm okay. Romeo's must die. Fine.
I do like that film.
Yeah, exactly. That's a nonsense. That's 10 out of 10.
Hey, I tell you what, Kino Lorber stuck that on 4K. Yeah, darn tooting it'd be 10 out of 10.
Oh my God, it's going to bad. We haven't even got Navy SEALs yet. It's going to just all melt down. We haven't reviewed a bunch of titles for April, which I thought I would include here as shout outs, because it's quite obvious that Kurosawa's Dreams on 4K from Criterion is going to be well received. And The Holdovers, which I absolutely adored on 4K from Dazzler, is going to be well received. Also, Aliens, Stone Cold Classic, 10 out of 10, is on 4K. The 4K is going to be debatably received when Simon gets in due course. So we haven't covered everything that's up there. What we have covered is the upcoming releases of Ealing Studios classics, Lavender Hill Mob and Kind Hearts and Coronets, which Simon has reviewed.
I did. I looked at them both. Both Stone Cold Classics, Lavender Hill Mob. I had a great time with that. Particularly exciting to see London in the 50s just after the Blitz, and it all smashed to bits and being put back together. So that's quite good. But equally is Alec Guinness in one of his fantastic roles as a mild-mannered bank clerk who plans a gold bullion robbery. And the madcap insanity that goes into planning, executing, and then trying to run away with the gold. It's just a fantastic film. The disc from Studio Canal has been, it's a new 4K scan, not from the negative. I guess the negative doesn't exist anymore. They've had to use a positive, but it's a brand new scan from this, the best available source. Color restoration, restoration wasn't color restoration because it's a black and white film, but there's been a full restoration of it. Looks spectacular. You'd think it was brand new. Absolutely superb restoration. Grayscale, fantastic. Dolby Vision on it. The sound is good. It's a mono track, the single mono track. Not tinny. Good, clean. No hiss, no distortion. Very, very nice. And a whole boatload of extras as well. both on disc and out of disc as well. It's coming as a special edition. I don't think it's a, don't think it's an anniversary edition, but there's a, it's a big box set full of stuff. So that's worth it. There it is. If you, if anyone watching, Kaz is now holding it up. If you can just about see that. I don't have that. I only got the Jack discs. The second film, which I don't think that's live yet. It's certainly on. By the time this podcast goes out, it will probably be live. Kind Hearts and Coronets. Yeah. Another superb film. Really, really enjoyable film. Okay. It's the classic of the classic. I think I marked it higher than Labyrinth Hill Mob. Although there's decimal points in it. Once again, this particular film was had a BFI restoration 2019, so it's already been scanned at 4K, cleaned up, and looks brilliant. The release from that time is, as good as it could possibly be. So why would you want to get the 4K? Well, because it's in 4K. And it's got HDR. It doesn't have Dolby Vision on, certainly not on my disc. I don't know whether or not the live release will have. Perhaps it says on the back of your copy there, Cass. There's on my check disc, it's only HDR.
HDR?
Yeah. Presumably that's some licensing thing for the BFI. I don't know. I can't comment onto it. But nevertheless, the disc looks spectacular, but it was always going to look spectacular. The grayscale is enhanced both in the black side and the white end to give it slightly more punch, slightly more detail. But I mean, don't expect it to put from one to the other and go, my god, that looks so much better, because it doesn't. It looks better, yes, but because you're looking at it in native 4K and you've got the HDR to improve those end members. Other than that, give or take, there are some couple of extras new to the disc just to try and get you to part with some cash. But if you haven't got it, then obviously go for the 4K. But they're spectacular films, and what more can you say? Stone cold classics.
Very nice.
Love them.
Very nice. Not quite a stone cold classic, but eagerly anticipated no less, because it's missed out a whole era of release with no Blu-ray. Mark looked at True Lies.
Yeah. I mean, look, do you know what? The internet has been alight for weeks with these Cameron discs.
Yeah.
We'd all seen the screenshots. We'd all seen the reaction videos. We'd all seen you name it. And I kind of steeled myself for the 4K disc. And I popped it in. And yeah, it was exactly as I'd expected it to be. Some of it looked absolutely fantastic. Some of it looked horribly plasticky and digital. A lot of rumors swirling around that the negative for True Lies was in a really bad shape, and therefore extraordinary lengths had to be gone to try and present some form of consistent high quality image. Who knows if that's true or not? It's the image quality is what the image quality was. I think what surprised me most about it was how poorly I think the film has aged. And I think this, out of all of the Cameron, more so than The Abyss, I hadn't seen True Lies in crumbs 20 years. And I think whether or not it's just that action films have moved on so much since then, I don't know. But I had True Lies in my memory as an absolute Arnie action banger, and it really wasn't. It Arnie just felt really off in the role. He can do many things. What he can't do is super smooth and suave, unfortunately.
Well, he's a oak.
True.
I have not opened the disc because of your review.
Well, more fool you. As many people have put, what you need to do is do what the forums did, which is use me as an opposite barometer.
No, that's just one person on the forums who hates everything.
So, I mean, it pained me. It pained me to give the film a 7 out of 10. In my memory, this was a 10 out of 10 all day long, every day.
Only for one scene, maybe.
I mean, it gets the action is typical Cameron stuff. And the third act, when he just pushes all the forced comedy to one side, he pushes all notions that this being some form of Bond pastiche just goes out the window. And Cameron concentrates on what Cameron and Arnold can do, which is pure balls to the wall action. I find that True Lies is amazing, but for 80% of the film, Bill Paxton and Jamie Lee Curtis outshine our, I mean, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Tom Arnold outshines Schwarzenegger for lots of this. And so, yeah, that's what surprised me more. But the disc is, it's what we've got, quite frankly. It's not an unwatchable monstrosity, and I'm not going to cut my nose off to spite my face. I will watch it again, and I'm pretty sure I will enjoy it.
But
I'm
You're not going to stick to the Blu-ray then?
Yes, the Spanish bootleg one. Yeah, no. It wasn't as good as The Abyss, was it though, Kaz? Really?
I haven't seen True Lies. I haven't seen the video quality on True Lies. But what's interesting about The Abyss is that you watched it on digital.
Mm.
And I was going to watch it on digital, but I thought I'm going to digital 4K, Dolby Vision, yeah. Everything, you know, good digital, not dodged digital, good digital. And I steeled myself for the disc, and I was very, very pleasantly surprised. It isn't perfect at all. And it does suffer from some of what you describe with True Lies to a lesser degree. And some of the shots do look a little bit plastic, but by and large, there is a huge wow factor associated with what they've done here. And it really does take you by surprise. It does. The underwater scenes look tremendous, and the picture looks clean but detailed. It's a whole different experience watching it like this. It's like opening eyes. Very, very, very good. But what was interesting about it was that you watched it on digital, and then you were like, it's probably the same on the disc. And then you watched it on the disc and you absolutely loved it, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, I think so. It's so quite clearly, because I haven't seen both, a step up from True Lies.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. For me, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And even though I know that what I'm looking at has had all that kind of digital manipulation that I don't really like. I said this when we were talking about Titanic just before Christmas. This is a new age for us where we can talk about digital sharpening and digital degraining without an awful lot of some of those traditional nasty effects that DNR had. There's some other side effects, of course, you know, and I think what's particularly bad in these particular films, I don't think it's the degraining. I think it's the artificial sharpening, which can look really odd in the shot where you've got half a face with almost, you know, lines show so sharp you could cut your finger on it, and the other side of the face is a little bit organically soft and stuff like that. And I think that's more noticeable than the lack of grain or anything. But I was surprised at how much better the disc was over digital, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed revisiting it, and I love the movie, and that's unlike True Lies. Yeah, that stood up. Rewatching it, had an absolute blast. My God, and he does so much with that. I know it's a long film, but he does so much in that movie. It's very ambitious. Some of the best underwater sequences I've ever seen put together. Absolutely. And kills everybody. Great.
For realsies.
No, I'm not going to finish the sentence with the rest of it because I'm not going to do spoilers, but he takes some first time watching that film, there's a lot of surprises.
When you first watched it, which cut did you see?
Oh, theatrical.
I saw it in the cinema.
Yeah, I think that's the theatrical. I didn't see it in the cinema. That's not, no. So maybe I don't remember watching the special edition, but my God, it's been forever. That DVD, I had the VHS. Was there a special edition for you? There must have been
I've only ever, I mean, I certainly saw the theatrical cut more than I've ever seen the extended cut.
I mean, the theatrical cut, they're both great movies, but for me, there were just some things in the extended cut which needed to be in the theatrical cut for it to fully work. And except so I'm prepared. Wave. Yeah, I'm prepared to forgive watching the big wave, we're going to call it, watching the big wave in 4K wasn't impressive at all.
What I find really funny about that scene is, have you seen, he's got one of those classic goofs of all time, you know, where people are on the beach watching this wave come, right in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. Someone's watching it, and his mate runs up behind him and yanks his shorts down to bare his ass. Of all the digital tinkering Cameron has done with his films,
he left
that in. Honestly, go back and watch it because it's hilarious.
I'll do it after the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Very nice. Okay. I'm going to quickly shout out the latest Netflix article. We put together best sci-fi movies on Netflix. That's going to be live shortly, probably by the time this airs. We're culling them all together. Lots of Netflix articles with one big top 10 list where there might be some films in it that are above 7.
Unlikely.
Crazy. Yeah, I know. That's unrealistic, isn't it, Tom?
Hey, come on. There's some good
sci-fi Annihilation, that was quite good, wasn't it? That got 8, didn't it?
It did. Annihilation is in there. And Spaceman, Mark just saw. That's in there.
I will never watch that film. I will never watch it.
Okay.
Because there is a giant spider in it. I'm not interested in subjecting myself to that for hours.
It's all right. It cured my wife's arachnophobia. Nope. Honestly, he's a cute little one.
Not interested. Not going to happen.
Oh, okay. My God.
You're saving yourself. So, Kaz, are we going to send Tom to the cinema to see, what is it, Sting?
Sting. Yeah. It's about the singer. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Put him in some tight speedos and I'm there.
Let's have some 4K disc news, Mark.
Oh, God. I'll apologize in advance because it's going to be me talking a lot because there is
a lot of
news. God. I mean, I know we get together once a month, but in the last 4 weeks, there's been an absolute glut of announcements. So let's get these out of the way. The big announcement is Dune Part 2. Yes, it's coming on the 14th of May in the States and the 27th of May, I think, over here. The whinging has already started because, yes, why were we even surprised? Anemic extras. Rumor is that the digital release will have even more extras and no IMAX scenes. But, you know, come on, did we expect any different? Same as the first film. We all know Warner Brothers will rinse the living crap out of this franchise before it gives us physical media fans what we really want. So double, triple, quadruple trips, ahoy! There you go, start saving up now, kids. So starting in the US, big studio announcements include, banger after banger. We've got the classic noir Chinatown from Polanski and Jack Nicholson. That's coming from Paramount. So join with me now. Please be good.
Please be good. Please be good. Please be good. Please be good.
We've got Magic Mike from Universal. I don't care if you're good. We've got La Femme Nikita from Sony. So, of course, it will be good. And 12 Strong from Warner Brothers.
Who cares?
What the 12? Anyway. But the meat of the announcements. Honestly, it's like the boutique labels were having a real competition this month. So first of all, Kino Lorma came straight out the gate, deciding to turbocharge their schedule by promising to drop banger after banger in their usual manner of soon.
That means 2 years.
So who knows? But they've been announced. So are you ready? We've got Cage of the Palmer's A Snake Eyes. We've got Peter Hyams and Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman's Just as Ace, Narrow Margin. We've got Ray Liotta's not quite as ace as Passenger 57.
It's nowhere near as ace as Passenger 57. Turbulence does not stand up.
All right. We've got the best ever slasher ending in April Fool's Day. And finally, the cultiest of all cult films, Dust Devil, from, of course, everyone's favorite one-time cult leader, Richard Hardware Stanley.
Dust Devil is epic.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Dust Devil,
I don't know this movie, but you mentioned Hardware. You need
to see like the director's cut of Dust Devil. It is okay.
Dust Devil's ace.
Absolutely ace.
However, Kaz, just stop there because only today Criterion announced their July releases. And if I may say so, whoa. First of all, we've got Cruise's Risky Business in the Criterion collection. Yes, that's right. We've got Wim Wenders' Ode to Porcelain Gods Everywhere, Perfect Days, straight out the gate onto 4K. Jean-Pierre Melville's amazing Le Samurai.
Oh, wow. No way.
So cool on 4K. Yeah. Like, it looks so cool. Anyway.
This is all US, though, isn't it?
Yeah. And the stunning Farewell, My Concubine from Cage Chen. All of those coming in July. Now, that month, my friends, is what's commonly referred to as a wallet trembler. That's right. All four of them in July. And Arrow, you know, tried to keep up, but bless, they failed. They got their own free con with American Gigolo, a gear favorite that's really only treading water until someone gives us Officer and Gentleman.
I love American Gigolo.
It's no Officer and Gentleman.
It is.
No. Anyway,
so dark. I got.
Anyway, back in the UK, Arrowheads over this side of the pond get gritty mid-90s snuff thriller Mute Witness on the 10th of June, Gorno slash Fest Madman on the 24th of June, and a little film that you've probably never heard of, With Null and I on the same date. Best get the finest wines known to all humanity lined up for that.
Wine, wine and cake.
Severin are bringing us the Utterly Hatstand Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker on the 13th of May. Which, hilariously for them, turns out isn't even their most batshit release of the month, because they've got Alejandro Jodorowsky's Santa Sangre coming on the 27th. Blimey, Charlie, that's
we'll have that one. Bill. That sounds good.
Little bit of a whine here, but never want to sit back on a job well done. Everyone rushed out and bought those mega expensive and mega massive bolt ranges, did you? Well, guess what? They're not done rinsing you for your favourite films.
They've come back as steelbooks.
Their entire second wave.
They're the same movies, aren't they?
Same movies.
In steelbooks.
Just in a steelbook.
And you don't even get the little like plastic or glass.
You don't get the glass thing.
You don't even get the little glass cube. What's the
you
point?
You haven't bought Jaws Apollo 13 in 2001 enough. You just haven't.
Yeah.
Get buying. But finally, in classic Star Trek move, Rocky is releasing, well, not Rocky himself, obviously. Amazon MGM are releasing the last two Rocky films that are missing out of the Balboa saga. Oh. Rocky 5 and Rocky Balboa are coming as individual steelbooks. Rumor is that they are also going to release all of them as a six-disc set. And rumor is also going overdrive this week, in that all those little errors that plagued the first release, the pitch shifts of some of the tracks, that they're all getting fixed for the new release. So there are a number of small audio issues that Cy pulled up in his review. They're all getting fixed apparently on this new release. So Rocky fans, unite. That's it. As ever, keep an eye on the 4K forums. At AV Forums, as our man on the inside, Red Devil 85, just seems to know just what's going down. So that's it. Start saving up now, kids.
Very good.
Very nice. Thank you. Our discussion of the month is what makes a 10 out of 10 4K disc.
Adding five
getting,
and five
I'm
together.
Getting deja vu.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, it is that. But I made a list of some of the ones we went through. And
when you say 10 out of 10, are you talking on a full 10 or 10 across the board?
I just put on this list are just ones where, because we all ignore maths, it gets 10 as the overall
version. Overall score is a 10. So
yeah, okay. Because finding ones where we gave 10 to every individual part was rare.
Mm.
Dish out tens.
Me,
like this.
Me, and Simon have done. This is in the last 5 years.
It looks like the last month.
We have done a dozen a piece, which have been 10 out of 10s. In the last, I think, in the last 2 years, Simon's done one, and I've done. Simon's done two, and I've done two. Mark, you've done two in all your time.
Yes.
And what's interesting from this is I noticed that it's purely because of the extras. You will give out nines to everything you love, and it's 10 for the movie, 10
we,
for the video.
We did just
10
cover the
for
fact
the
that Mark gave a 10 out of 10 to a 5-hour RoboCop documentary, so this is surprising no one.
No, but he doesn't.
It's an amazing documentary.
I know, but I'm telling you, the only two things you've given 10 out of 10s to are Texas Chainsaw Massacre 4K and the Bruce Lee box set.
Yes.
The irony being, you didn't think that the movies were 10 out of 10.
No.
But the extras, man, they were like 100 out of 10.
So you're leaping straight in with this, aren't you, Kaz? Straight in.
I am leaping straight in with this because we've given loads. Like, yeah. we've given the Drives and the Pulp Fictions and the all of the ones that we covered as classics, as well as some more left field ones like Dune and Ronin and Maverick. Where's Dog Soldiers in this list? We got a lot of tens going on.
Why is Dog Soldiers on this list?
One of these films is not like the others.
We got a lot of 10 out of 10s here. But you're very selective. And so I'm going to boil it right down to this. What makes a 10 out of 10 for Simon? I'm going to go with Simon first.
Yes.
What makes a 10 out of 10 for Simon? Go on.
So what makes a 10 out of 10 release? Disc.
Yeah,
release.
Yeah.
A release disc.
So a disc, a 4K disc.
So
it doesn't matter the numbers for the rest, but...
No, but it does.
I know it does, but like obviously they're not going to be all eights. But like, what gets it to 10? Because it doesn't have to be all tens.
It's got to be okay. So it's got to be a great film. It's got to have a good picture. It's got to have good sound. It's got to have a boatload of extras. The disc has got to be worth the price that you pay. It's got to be a premium package. The whole thing has to be worth the money.
Mm-hmm.
You can go up and down on that. If the film means more to you than, you know, if it's a shitty picture and shitty sound, but it's the best film in the world and you love it, then perhaps you could push that to a 10 a disc because it's worth it just for the film. And I may have done that in the past in the Blu-ray. I'm not sure I've done it on anything 4K.
I think I weight them a little bit more like that. But anyway, we'll come to that. I'm going to ask Tom. I'm gonna put Tom on the spot. For you, what would you give for a 10 out of 10 disc that you get?
Art cards.
Yeah, I love the
as
art.
As long as it's got a book.
No,
is it that little glass bit in the film book?
It's not got a glass cube. I'm not interested. Do you know what? Get ready to record this for posterity because I am 100% on the same page as Mark on this, I think.
Oh, which is... shit, the sky's falling.
Oh, my God, that's super weird.
Look at all those pigs flying.
Yeah.
I think it is rare that I am like, this disc was, this is one of the best purchases of my life. This is a tech for...
I do talk like that.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is on that list because it is... the most faithful representation of that thing as it exists. And in that Second Sight box set was everything that you could ever want to know about that film. And the package as a whole was fantastic. Not only was it faithful, it was also a bit of a brush up, a bit of a cleanup, but not in a way that was intrusive. It just presented the best version that could be presented. So that essentially, which is weird because I guess that would make it quite difficult for me to score a lot of more recent 4K, releases of more recent films in 4K. It would make it difficult for me to score them 10 out of 10 because you know what it looks like. It looks pristine. Mm. It was filmed yesterday. It looks amazing. It sounds amazing. If it didn't, then that would be worth commenting on. But the fact that it does is not worth commenting on because why would it be anything other than that? Only
there's
in
something
the
that tips
like,
it over the edge.
Only in the realms of like technical work done on restoration, keeping it authentic, keeping it what like that sort of weird in between space between like how you remember it and how it actually was, which is quite difficult to define, I guess, because there's some amount of tinkering involved in presenting you with your memory, which is wrong. So it only in the cases where there's been some like really superb restoration work on an already incredible like piece of art.
Cool. Go on then, Mark. That's everything you believe. You just paid Tom to say that, didn't you?
Pretty much.
I mean, I completely see what he's saying about Texas Chainsaw Massacre because it's Atmos, isn't it?
the best world this year. It's good,
which
but
is just insane when you think about it. But yeah, I mean, it's got everything you could have possibly asked for.
Yeah, pretty much. I think for me, the scoring weighting on the discs is, I always have a grumble at myself about these, because it starts with the score of the film. It's very rare that an overall disc will score higher than the score for the film. Very rare. The quality of the sound and video for me don't increase the overall score over the film, but it can decrease it if they're not up to snuff. When it comes to extras, there's extras. And there's extras, if you know what I mean. So take the Bruce Lee set, because those are the films, you know, I think I scored the film 7 overall. Now, I think it'd be hard pushed to find anyone who would score a set of films that include Game of Death, you know, as top notch 9s and 10s.
Yeah. But every version of Game of Death.
That, but I think what Arrow did with that release was, obviously, in terms of the extras are out of this world, and what they did on that, what the Game of Death extra, what did they call it? I can't remember what they called it, New Game of Death or whatever it was.
Yeah,
the final Game of Death, whatever it was.
The hour long or 40 minute long version. Yeah,
no, it was something like four hours, but it had hours of his dailies and with the cult, with all that kind of stuff. One of the most astounding extras I think I've ever seen, because that took your knowledge and understanding of what he was trying to do, plus you saw all the footage for the first time, not in the god-awful Klaus film, you know, and it, that on its own was something else. But then the fact that it stuck in all the extras off previous releases, so suddenly you were drowning in extras. But as Tom said, for those films, they're notorious for multiple cuts, multiple audio tracks. And I put in the review, I can't even remember how many, you had something like 17 different versions of the 5 films. You had God knows how, each one had 3, 4, 5 audio tracks. It was unbelievable. Now, I think for me, when it comes to disc, and maybe it's because I'm an accountant, but going back to what Si said, if I am being asked to chunk up a huge amount of change, and let's be honest, some of these single film sets are a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I have got to be able to say, if my 40 quid, I am going to compare my 40 quid disc version to the $299 4K Apple iTunes version over here. What's my 37 quid difference over here? And that will play a part in it for me, which is why I very rarely give 10s out of 10s, because I think the extras, most films now, the really good ones, you know, you'll get a couple of commentaries, you'll get an hour long retrospective making of, maybe a few deleted scenes, and that's all great. And that's all absolutely, you know, that's solid enough, and it's good enough for a lot of films. But then when you compare what Arrow go and do, you have to set your benchmark accordingly, you know, and maybe what I should have done is score Arrow a 12 out of 10 for their extras, and everyone else would feel a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, I can see exactly what you're saying about this, and more so than ever when you've talked about extras, because I'm not huge on extras, but if there are different cuts of a movie, if you're going to be Michael Mann, I want all the Michael Mann cuts.
Yeah.
I want a Manhunter box set, which has all 4 cuts, each of which are about 90 seconds different from each other. I want it, and I want them all restored, okay? And it's only someone like Arrow or Second Sight, or it's only someone who goes to that, the boutique extra level of care that goes in, and that's where you get the high scores. Where I think that there's some difficulty, because there are some of these in there, you know, Touch of Evil has had a lot of time and care and different cuts put in. There are some examples, but where I think there's some difficulty is that it only really works for the classics in the list. Really, this can only apply to the ones that are, you know, multiple cut, 40 years old, have a lot of lore behind them, have the Wicker Man, and you can have a little fold-out box set, and it has, you know, 3 different cuts of the movie, and Dawn of the Dead. You know, there's a lot of love that can go into older films, and a lot that can be put back together, even if it's retrospective commentaries. Yeah, and I think it's in the newer releases where I'm more forgiving than you, because I'm aware of that. And I'm not saying that you're wrong or that I'm wrong. I'm saying that I think I'm very aware that for Top Gun Maverick, for example, there's nothing else I really wanted much more that was in that. I absolutely loved the film. They put together a stunning looking disc. They went to the effort on the IMAX. They went to the effort with the immaculate video and audio for me. And it was an absolute blast revisiting it. That it didn't have a comprehensive 10-year anniversary retrospective set of extras wasn't enough for me to reduce what I felt was 10s across the board otherwise. Hmm. And it's interesting because mathematically it makes absolutely no sense. But to me, that is a 10 out of 10 release. And the same for Dune. Dune was just spectacular. An audiovisual, you know, absolute bliss. I loved it.
But the thing with any of the Dune releases, as we've already said, because they're Warner Brothers releases, you're naff all on the disc. Like if you are interested in any level beyond the surface of...
But 6 months after the film came out, I mean, that's why I think I don't punish them as much. I think you're right. I think that... But we haven't had the time for film historians to record four commentaries or fish out the dailies or put together some...
Sure, so when they do, then that's my 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but...
I mean, I think the thing for me on that is, I totally understand it, Cass, but then where does the value come into this? And that's what...
But I don't know whether I think they're as expensive.
They are
expensive, but I don't think they're as expensive as the boutique box sets where you are getting what you paid for, but you are paying extra.
Yeah, but it's I think so. We're looking at extremes here. So take for example, I did a review for the 4K of Five Nights at Freddy's. Okay, it was an average film. Technically, it was very strong, great picture, good audio. It had 17 minutes of EPK extras. That was it. And at least half of those minutes were clips from the sodding film. Now, at the end of the day, I could hop on a digital provider and buy that film for even on day one, I could buy that for $13.99. Technical isn't quite as good, but you know what? I'd get all those extras.
And in addition to that, you just hop on YouTube and find like history of Five Nights at Freddy's and watch like 5 to 10 hours worth of content.
Exactly. Yet the disc is 10 quid more. Now,
I agree with that. And you said the same on, I think, Cocaine Bear. I think it was the same deal. Yeah. These are definite examples where there's a case to be made for going for digital. I guess I'm talking about ones where everything else is 10 out of 10, including the movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like a 7 out of 10 for extras isn't enough for me for a newer film.
Yeah.
I totally agree with older films. I want the lavish Indiana Jones box set. I want the lavish Star Trek box set. I couldn't abide a bare bones release. But a film that's... was in the cinema earlier this year. I'm not sure I am expecting that to define my 10 out of 10, which is probably why I still give it a pass. I also love putting 10s out of 10s on ridiculous stuff that doesn't deserve it because it just freaks people out.
You sycophant, Harlan.
I looked it up. There's like Suicide Squad's on here as a 10 out of 10.
What?
I guess they gave like the movie an 8. I love that. Oh my God, the feedback. I reread the thread. Just for this, that was just beautiful. That was so much fun.
Not a sycophant, just a sicko.
that's the other. There's some quality 10 out of 10s out there, and then there's Suicide Squad.
I just think in this day and age, the market is so mature, right? We're all old hands at this. We know how this goes. Dune, absolutely. We know there's going to be a second release and a third release and a fourth release. We know that. And given the fact that, yes, I can hop on iTunes today and buy Dune 2. I mean, I wouldn't because it's 20 quid. but, you know, give it a couple of weeks. When the disc is out, I reckon I could probably get a digital version to tide me over until I get the release that I want. Now, that's just
would
me.
Would you really? It'd be like 3 years down the line, if you're lucky.
Well, no, of course I won't. I'll find the cheap Italian stuff like I did with part one. You know, that's fine.
But I mean, yeah, I know what you're saying. I agree that this is what we'd want from it. I'm just not sure I punish them as much.
No. And to be fair, to your point, you're absolutely right. Not every film deserves or needs 17 audio commentaries and 14 hours, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's. I mean, bloody hell. If there were more extras than that on it, I'd be whinging that I had to watch the buggers. you know, but then again, and it comes back to this, a physical, it's the package of physical media. Now, for me, and we've talked about this before, I would much prefer for these modern films that there's going to be no one's classic. Don't stick any extras on there. Make it as bare bones as you like. Even rip off as many audio tracks as you like. Maybe leave one audio track on in the film in the best quality and charge me 5-6 quid less. I'd be happier.
Yeah, I know.
I'd be happier with that. What annoys me is where it's so half-assed, and what's the incentive to pick up the disc over an infinitely cheaper?
I think it's because they write a 30th anniversary and a banner at the top. Pretty sure that's Paramount's logic behind it, and the banner is embossed. so there's that. Is that not working for you, Mark?
Not really.
Pretty sure it is.
Yeah, you don't really get to, you don't get to feel all that lovely embossing on the check discs, you swine. You know,
I don't think Paramount send us check discs,
but they don't send us check discs, you swine.
Yes, we will talk favorably about
we
them.
We guarantee we'll score you highly.
Oh man, those are a disappointment to me, more so than newer releases with less extras, which I'll give a pass to. Getting something that says 30th anniversary and it has a trailer.
Has Dick all on it. Yeah, no.
It's got a trailer. Yeah, great. You celebrated it in style. It's.
And what makes it trickier is where it's one of these releases that's got the same extras that were on the 15th anniversary, because you've already got that. And then, you know, for us, we have to score that. Do you score it as... it's for the fan who will already have that version, so there's no new extras. So nothing. Or do you score it for someone coming new to it? Oh, look at all these new extras.
I tend to go somewhere in between.
Yeah, you score the disc on its own merits.
No, I think what Mark's saying is, like, if it's just a port of all the old extras, however meaty they are, do you score it down for not having anything new?
I would do, but not a huge amount. Yeah, you know, if it's an 8 out of 10 roster, yeah. I'd maybe knock it down to a 7 if they've just ported everything over from previous versions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm grumpy like that. I can't be as objective.
I don't know. I mean, you're scoring the disc as the disc. The fact that it's the same as the old version, you write about that. The disc itself hasn't lost value. It's not a devalued disc, that's because it's got the same extras as an older one.
But is it for the people who already own that old one? I don't know.
Who's going to buy it? Why would they buy it? Why would you buy it? If it's... I don't understand where you're going at. You score the disc on as the disc is in front of you. Mm. You forget about what's before. You forget about what's coming up. You score the disc as the disc in front of you.
So that's an interesting one. So what about these Disney, the Marvel discs, where the disc in front of you is HDR10 only, fixed scope, but it looks brilliant. Mm-hmm. Yet, you know, you could go to Disney Plus and get Dolby Vision, IMAX framing. What do you do then?
Same thing. You score the disc as it is in front of you, and you say everywhere, but you know you can get this up better on Disney Plus if you want to. But the disc as it is, this film, this picture, this sound, these extras, this disc is worth 8 out of 10.
Ooh, I'm somewhere in between here, because I would definitely write everything you're saying, Simon, because I did a lot of these Disney IMAX reviews. Yeah. The Disney, I've done a lot of these Disney discs where they've been on IMAX, and every time I've been saying the same thing and getting tired of having to having to say, you can go and watch it in IMAX, and why would you even own this disc? But I can't help. I wouldn't score the picture down, because generally the discs look that score, and the audio's generally better. But when it comes to the overall value, which I would attribute to that verdict, I wouldn't probably, I wouldn't, I think I would let it swing me a little bit. The fact that you can, the fact that I would personally rewatch most of these movies in IMAX, in Dolby Vision, on a streaming provider when I've got the disc on the shelf, means I'd probably score it down.
All the things like how you're accessing it, your other options, all of that's like contextual stuff that's not falling into any of the categories that we have for applying numbers to it. So it always will, or not always, but for you guys, it seems, will fall into this like overall score. It's great, but
it's the hardest thing we have to do.
It is by far the hardest thing we have to do, giving us number
to a damn disc.
It isn't an easy ride. Anyway, there you go. There's the conclusion. That's what makes it.
Physical media rules.
But it's nice. It's nice to see. This is 5 years, and me and Simon have done like 12 apiece. It's taken 5 years for us to put 12, 10 out of 10s. So it's nice to see that. Given we're churning out like 300 reviews a year, it's not bad that it's still. It still takes something to get us over the line.
Tell you what, just you wait till I get that 4K Tammy in the T-Rex.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Jesus. I'm going to go in.
Do you know what? I'm going to ask Stuart to invent us a new badge for that bad boy.
Yeah.
A T. It's the T badge.
Best in class.
Oh, God. Best dinosaur dud.
it comes with a little box that makes your record player sound better as well, so like 10 out of 10.
Very nice. Okay, thank
bring
you
bring us home, Kaz. Bring yeah. us on home.
Well, do let us know if there's anything we've not covered that you think you should check out. That's it for the AV Forums Discs podcast this week. Thank you to the movie team. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please give us a like and subscribe to the channel. Plus, hit the notification bell so you don't miss out when we publish our live streams, product reviews, and more. If you really like the podcast, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/AVForums. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and bookmark AVForums.com for the latest reviews, news, and videos. Plus, why not leave us a 5-star rating on whichever service you choose? If you give each of us a 5 out of 10. 5 out of 10? Yeah. If you gave each of us 5 out of 5.
That's what we're going to do from now on the site. We're just going to add up the scores.
Just add them up. It would be terrible if they allow it, but only if you enjoyed the show. Thank you for watching and listening and joining us for another podcast soon. Bye.